Now I'm going to introduce Paul. Oh gosh, okay. So I just want to say, I had a list of wonderful things to say about him, which I'll find. Paul is the force of nature behind Cascadia Poetics Lab. Huge force of nature. And he does fantastic podcasts, amazing interviews. He has interviewed Peter Levitt, I believe. So if you go looking in the archives, you will find an interview with Peter there. He's my fellow editor on the anthology called Cascadian Zen, along with Jason Wirth, who is here today. And there should be some bookmarks there. This is an incredible book. Most of us who are reading here today are in this anthology, and many other notable people. So do take a look at the bookmark. The book is coming out in September, and there will be various launches. I think in a year's time, we are back here, and there will be kind of part of the focus of being here will be it'll be more of a festival, more of an arranged event, and a bit of a launch here on the island. So we look forward to that. Hoping to invite, I guess I can't say till I know. Anyway, some quite amazing people who are part of that anthology. So thank you, Paul, for being everything that you are for me.
Thank you, Adelia. Thank you for your beautiful poems. Thank you, Sophie, for your interest in this work and your support of it. I'm really grateful to be here. Michael McClure died in May of 2020, and one of his most beautiful books is Touching the Edge, Dharma Devotions from the Hummingbird Sangha. And one of the phrases in one of the poems is flexible mind. And after he died, I started writing poems similar to the poems in that book called Flexible Mind. Here are a couple. Flexible mind, for Rob Lewis, is rooted in a place, most any place. The secretary of transpiration knows water begets water, soil is the womb, and vegetation the midwife, before he plants a future cloud in the ground of his bioregion. Flexible as water, savvy as the crows, ruin lawns with beaks hunting European chafer beetle grubs. Crow sushi, wily mind, flexible as a crow. Flexible mind is at heart an ear, as the great mind talks to us in silence, a syllable at a time. Time sin fondo, for at the bottom, no bottom but sky, and the mind discerns by ear. I heard that has an ear in it too. The coot rush is danger, and seagull call opportunity in the chaos of falling empires, failed transition, and the bare tree moon. Written in November of 2020, when the transition of presidents in the United States was in question. I guess in some circles it's still in question. This one's for Mary Norbert Corti, who was a nun who attended the 1965 Berkeley Poetry Conference, got a special dispensation from her mother superior to attend, and then not long after that got bailed out by that same mother superior for a marijuana offense. Lived as a redwood protector in a former redwood logging camp for 40 years off the grid. She died in November of last year. Yes, Mary, it's heaven, where men pick up after themselves, where you and the Mother Superior eat the same soup, where Brother Antoninus and the ancestors have been warming your cloud, luminous being. We stand in the long line of our own choosing. Try to pay attention. Keep the fire warm enough for the cat, and hold a friend's hand for our final breath, if we're the captain of our own ship's chi. Goodbye, Mary, dear Redwood Buddha, the Cascadian Redwood night, so cold without your gentle fire. In one of my recent projects, a day song, I let all the workshop participants do it. This is what I did on September 1st. And I have to be honest, it's a little nervous, but I have Peter's book, Essential Dogen, there. And I kind of read through it until I find a part. It's like, that's it. And then I get inspiration. Thank you, Peter, for all that work. It's really incredible. Also to have Jason in the room, two Soto Zen priests, is beautiful, but it's also, they're going to call me on any of my shit if the Zen stuff ain't right. So it's a little nerve-wracking. But here's part of this long poem written on September 1st. This is our view of Lake Washington. We call it Casa del Colibri, the point of poetry after Dogen. The hub of poets' activity, listening to ancestral voices, transcribing without thinking, is completed in the space between poet and listener where meaning lives. As the poem moves on beyond conscious thought, its meanings relayed on its own time, completed in the realm of the indefinite, the most intimate of all realms. When the meaning arrives, it has the power of ancient cedar forests and lubricates the occasion of experience, but only as deep as the depth of your listening. The obstacles of ritual, carrying water, switchbacks, water taxis to the carless realm, these all contribute to the depth of each occasion. Struggle enhances the sweetness. Clear water sent from Japan. No hindrances, except as we construct them. The poem waits for us to discover the larger mind at play. And the last poem I'll read is from this book of 99 Neo-Barroco Haibun. Neo-Barroco is a Latin American school or movement, and all of these Haibun, medieval Japanese form, have a epigraph by Ramon Gomez de la Serna. They were very inventive. Humor plus metaphor equals gregaria. One of them was, nothing forgets us as quickly as a bar stool. To give you an example. I think I wrote one for that too. But this one, number 97 in the series, Clues from Hell, written at the lake where Morris Graves lived the last 30 some years of his life. His greatest creations, this wonderful painter, may have been the places where he lived. Clues from Hell, epigraph Ramon Gomez de la Serna, smoke rises to heaven when it ought to descend to hell. And the heavens of your making a home, be it the rock or Kerladen, Woodtown or the lake, Kageyan or Cloud Nine, slaughter or a little corner of Hillman City, survivable by pea patch. Make it with enough care to notice from the lichen to the day moon, from the library to the Japanese maple, from the giant sunflowers to the three steepled cedar points to better weather. In it, and in the chaos of the marked up books, the three-toed vase, the empty Otokoyama bottles in the recycle bin, clues. To sift through the wreckage one day, they'll want clues. Clues to how you ended up next to a fire, well tended, and clues to the spiritual chase. Clues to the record and direction for future seekers, and clues to where you hid the humbled fog. Clues could hide right in front of you, as does the sponge plant by the duckweed drift, which smears the morning lake. Clues of cigarette butts and grief. Old growth redwood, 800 years old, 300 feet tall, heard its share of prayers. They were always there, we'll say, prominent as miniature islands with salal, blue huckleberry, and dwarfed spruce. Calm as the lake ripples made by a coot flock landing. Subtle as the wood smoke rejecting hell in the making of its new home as it courts the morning Cascadia fog. Sincere as autumn bouquets, sweet little nosegay-like, for every dead stranger in the cemetery made with the spirit of great cobwebs of geese in the sky and mild-mannered hallucinations of reverse snow in September Olympic fireweed, or the hush of dropping fir needles with each new exhale from Blue Glacier. So, stock up on cake mix and tequila, butter and turkey bacon, mangoes y pan de banana. Have handy jasmine rice and altar candles, fresh garlic and olive oil, cashew bits and blush wine, wool socks and binoculars, photos of the loved ones, and always the clue-enabling ancestors, decoding the sea and the heavens ain't for sissies. Lend a hand or stand back.